Are you having difficulty reading the newspaper? Are you experiencing severe vision loss? Or do you know someone who is? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then the American Council of the Blind can help you. We are blind and visually impaired people from every walk of life who work together to enhance our lives. For more information or a membership application, call 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.
ACB Radio is brought to you by the American Council of the Blind. ACB, the people that bring you ACB Radio.
ACB Radio is proud to present Cooking Without Looking. This is the audio soundtrack from the TV shows which have been recently aired in North America by some public broadcast television stations. ACB Radio is grateful to Renee Rentmeester, producer of Cooking Without Looking, for allowing us to use this audio. If you would like information and strategies for contacting your own local public television station to request that they air upcoming seasons of Cooking Without Looking, give Renee Rentmeester a call. Her telephone number is 888-290-7005. And now, on to Cooking Without Looking, right here on ACB Radio Main Street.
This is Cooking Without Looking, the first television show produced especially for people who are blind and visually impaired.
Welcome to Cooking Without Looking, the first television show especially designed for people who are totally blind or severely visually impaired. I'm Alan Preston.
And I'm Celia Chacon, and today we're going to take you through a couple of top flight recipes as well as some tips on how to take a flight.
Hi, I'm Annette Watkins. That's right, Celia. Today's show will explain how to travel without trouble if you're disabled.
There are over 60 million Americans with disabilities. Some have hearing impairments, some have visual impairments, and some have mobility impairments.
And today on segment 3, Food for Thought, I'll be speaking to a representative from SATH, the Society for Accessible Travel and Hospitality, as well as two professionals who own a travel agency and will teach us how to travel without trouble if you're disabled.
So, Alan and Annette, let's take off now on another episode of Cooking Without Looking.
Today on Cooking Without Looking, we welcome Julie Manchester from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Julie, I understand that you're a cookingware and cooking utensil distributor. Tell us a little bit about your visual impairment.
Well, I have retinitis pigmentosa, mm-hmm. and commonly known as RP. A lot of people call it RP. And it's a degenerative eye disease that takes your peripheral vision, your night vision. And so the way I see is like looking through binoculars.
Tunnel vision.
Certainly. Tunnel vision, yeah. Some people call it tunnel vision. Sometimes, depending on how severe the disability visually, some people say it's like looking through a straw. For me, it's like looking through binoculars. So I'm lucky.
I can't wait to get going on this pizza recipe of yours.
I've started the base for our pizza dough, which is some yeast, some honey, and some oil. And if you can see in the bowl here, the yeast has started to grow.
It's bubbling, right?
It's bubbling, yeah.
That's what I can smell, right?
That's what you're smelling. Okay, the yeast smell is a very rich smell.
How much yeast and how much water did you mix together in there?
1 cup of water, 1 teaspoon of honey, and the sugar also helps the yeast grow a little faster.
And how much sugar did we put in? Did
that
you
was,
put in?
That was about 1 teaspoon.
Okay.
Yeah, teaspoon.
And now this has been sitting here and working for a little while, hasn't it?
It's been about 5 minutes. That's all it takes. And if it doesn't grow after about 5 minutes, then your yeast is no good and you need to throw it away and buy some fresh yeast.
if you can't see it very well, how could you tell that your yeast was growing?
Well, for me, with my visual impairment, I can see that the yeast has this film. The water has this film on top. If not, you can hear the bubbles just slightly.
You can.
So there is an audible quality to the yeast. You can hear it.
Okay, and so if you can hear the little bubbles popping, sort of like soda pop would.
Just a little softer than that. Not quite as obvious, but yeah, you can. You could be sightless and actually know that your yeast has grown.
All right, what's up next?
So what we're going to do is I'm going to add 1.5 of the 3 cups of flour to the mixture.
How do you know how to measure the cups?
I have a half cup measurement here. And because I'm doing half cup increments, not, you know, one whole cup increments, so I'm using the half cup measure. And so I dip into the flour. And when you measure with flour, you want to have a level bit of flour. And I use my fingers because I'm very tactile. I like using my fingers.
And that's what we put in with the 1 cup of water and the yeast mix.
And now I'm
going to
add a teaspoon of salt.
Okay, we're going to mix this all together.
Right.
You're going to mix this
all
together.
I'm going to mix this. And now if you notice, I don't have a stand mixer. I don't have a machine. I'm using my hands.
You're doing it all strictly by hand.
And this is the fun part, Alan. All right, so now we've got this incorporated. I can tell.
You can tell by the feel of it.
By the feel of it, okay, that it's incorporated enough.
What is it you're looking for in that kind of a feel?
I just want to make sure I don't have any water on the edge, any excess flour on the edge, that everything that I've poured into the bowl is now incorporated. And right now what I'm doing is I'm kneading the dough. And what happens is it forms a nice tight ball. And what we do with this is we put it in a clean bowl, we oil the bowl, and we put the dough into the bowl, and we get the oil all over the dough. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to press the dough out to almost the edge. And I just use my fingers and I'm feeling what I'm doing here. And again, if you have no sight, you can do this. Now we're going to get to some interesting things here, the toppings.
Oh, yes. Okay.
All right.
Now, you did some prep work with
this. I did earlier. I have mayonnaise, garlic, the lemon zest artichokes, cremini mushrooms, and Parmigiano Reggiano cheese, and mix well. Okay. Now I'm going to put this mixture on the stone.
Was there a reason that you let the crust set for a while, or does it hurt it to set for any length of time?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, if you had let the crust sit instead of having this mixture ready right away after putting the dough on the pizza stone,
right,
it would be, as it is now, a little puffier, a little thicker.
Thicker crust.
Right. Okay. If you put this mixture on directly after you roll out the dough, it'll be a little thinner crust. Thinner, crispier. Neapolitan, I think they call it.
I like thin, crispy crust.
I do, too.
Of course, I like pizza in general.
Well, that's a good thing, because we're having pizza today. So we're going to take this mixture. And I have my handy-dandy scraper, which gets every last bit of the goodies. And I'm going to spread this all over the dough. So I'm going to use my fingers as well, because I need to feel the edge of the pizza to make sure I don't press the mixture off the pizza dough. I don't want it on the table. I want it all on my pizza dough. So the last part of this is I take this tomato and I'll put it out onto the pizza.
Oh, sort of like you'd put pepperoni pieces out
there.
Yeah.
It looks lovely. And then I would put my Italian seasoning on that, a little bit of extra cheese on top to make it look gorgeous.
And then it goes in the oven.
It goes into the oven, 425 degree oven, for 20 to 25 minutes. And when it comes out of the oven, this is what it looks like.
Oh, does that ever look good?
Doesn't that look lovely?
Oh, and it smells great, too. Julie, thank you so much for coming to our show today.
Thank you for having me, Alan. It was a pleasure to be here.
Julie's Parmesan Artichoke Pizza. Dough ingredients. 1 package yeast. 1 tablespoon honey. 1 cup warm water. 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil. 1 teaspoon salt. 3 cups unbleached all-purpose flour. Dough directions. In a large bowl, combine the water, yeast, honey, and 1 tablespoon of the olive oil. Turn the dough out onto a lightly floured surface and knead until the dough is smooth but still slightly tacky. Punch dough down and turn out onto a lightly floured surface and roll into a 15-inch circle. Topping ingredients: 1 can artichoke hearts in water, well drained and chopped. 1 cup mushrooms, chopped. 1/3 cup mayonnaise. 1 tablespoon lemon zest, finely chopped. 1 clove garlic, pressed or finely chopped. 1/2 cup Parmesan cheese, grated. 2 large plum tomatoes, thinly sliced. And 1 tablespoon Italian seasoning. Topping directions: spread mixture over pizza dough, leaving a 3/4 inch border. Place tomato slices evenly over the mixture. Bake for 20 to 25 minutes until crust is golden brown.
Well, Sylvia, what is it we're cooking today?
Well, Alan, welcome to my kitchen. Here we are. We're going to make a sugar-free, fat-free lemon cheesecake.
That sounds great.
I hope it is. First, I want to tell you that I began with a prepared pan, meaning I sprayed it with some cooking spray, and I made a crumb mixture here of graham crackers, a little bit of cinnamon, and a little bit of margarine.
And you just crumble those all up?
Yeah, I crumble it all up in my food processor, and then I pat them into the bottom of the pan and up the sides just a little bit. Okay, just so that the batter does not seep out. Some people like to bake their cookie crust. I like making the crust and putting it in the freezer.
How long do you leave it in the freezer?
As long as it takes to make the batter, the filling of the cheesecake, which is not too long.
Okay.
And then...
Now, well, wait a minute. Now, when you put this in the pan, mm-hmm. you just use your hand to make sure that it's smooth.
I usually like to use either a piece of saran wrap and smooth it down completely mm-hmm. so the crumbs don't get into your nails or into your skin and you're not... You know, using an unsanitary way of doing this. Or I use a surgical glove. And I pat it in here. But, you know, like myself, I am totally blind. So I'd really try to go around all the edges, make sure that they're firmly in there, as you see, or as you can tell, I'm sure. And then I pat it down through the middle and all around the sides, just to make sure it's an even Steven type of deal here, okay?
Okay.
And that's about it. Like I say, it's prepared now. So then we'll go on to the next step, which is making our cheese mixture.
Okay. Now, what kind of a utensil is this that you have over here?
This is my food processor. And into the food processor, what I'm going to do, I'm going to add in here 3 8-ounce packages of no-fat cream cheese. It can be made with low-fat, as well as like I'm making it here with no-fat. And you want to make sure that your cream cheese is room temperature, because it's easier to make your batter up quicker. And I find when you have room temperature products, your baking is much more successful, okay, instead of making it from a cold product.
Now, when you put that in there, you just kind of centered the bowl over the top.
I centered over, exactly.
And then kind of scraped it in with your hand so you
with
could...
With my gloved hand, okay. Or you can use it with a spatula as well.
But the trick is to make sure that it all goes inside the food
processor.
Yeah,
and I'm very tactile with my food, and so I like to touch it as well. And I'll change out gloves every so often. Even in my own kitchen, I'll make hamburgers or, meatloaf, anything that I've got to get my fingers into, or bread dough. I love working with bread dough. There. Okay, Celia. Put this on. We'll process that. And then a few minutes or seconds, as the case may be.
Now, how do you know when you've got your food processor together right? Is it just a matter of knowing your piece of equipment?
You have to know your piece of equipment, and this will not turn on unless it's locked in place. Because, watch, I'll turn the lid off, and
just
it turns off.
The lid
because that's safety, the safety feature of it. That way you don't get hurt. You stick your hand in, it's not going to go on.
Okay, so now we got the cream cheese in there in
that's
the food
right.
processor.
That's right.
What's up next?
Okay, the next thing we're going to do, we're going to stop it. We are going to take our sour cream.
One cup of no-fat sour
cream. No-fat.
Are we sure it's sour enough?
Oh, honey, it's so sour. Okay, we've got the sour cream. Oops. Okay, that'll go a little bit. Then next we'll add our eggs.
Okay, now you pre-measured them?
I pre-measured them.
And they're all in bowls that are a slightly different shape
exactly.
so that you can recognize
them. Exactly, so I know. Okay, next we'll put in here 4 large eggs, if you're going to use it as a regular recipe, pour in our egg beaters.
How much egg beater do you use?
Okay, 1/4 cup of egg beaters is equal to 1 large egg, okay?
Okay.
And so we use 4 eggs or 1 cup of egg beaters. Okay, and let that go. And next I'm going to be adding my lemon juice and my lemon zest. It's going to be a trick, okay?
You just took the little plunger out of the top, right?
Exactly.
And now you're using both of your hands to center the lemon juice container
in the little bowl.
Top.
Right. Let that go. Then I'll stop it again just to add the lemon zest into
what
the mixture.
What is lemon zest?
Lemon zest is when you take a lemon and you rasp off the yellow part of it, okay? So make sure we got it all. And we let it go. And then we just have one more ingredient to add. Okay, let that go. I'm going to need the sugar, which I believe you have on that side.
I certainly do. I have this big square container of pre-measured.
2 cups of sugar substitute.
Okay.
Okay, now, would you like to pour that in for me?
You want me to kind of
all
scatter
around.
This
yes,
over in
please.
Here?
Yes, please.
All right.
And this was done with 2 cups of sugar substitute.
Yes, or 2 cups of sugar. Thank you. And you hear the sound change, too. There's
a
difference
bit,
in
yeah.
the sound. And when this bakes up, you have a nice, light, lemony fragrance in the air. Okay. So if your kitchen is a little stinky, it smells it up nicely, you know? This is pretty much the way we want it. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. And then another thing we have to remember. You take out the cup.
Okay.
I put my center finger down the middle to hold the blade into the bowl.
So you don't dump the blade out when you dump the contents.
There
out.
You go. And then I try to figure where the middle is here, and then I pour out.
Okay. And the trick is to get it all inside the pan.
Oh, well, I hope so. Most of the times I make it. Sometimes I drip. But, hey, I don't get any complaints about the taste of the cheesecake.
Well, it's all part of cooking in the kitchen.
There it is.
See, now, there's an advantage to having those guide dogs.
Yes.
Saves cleanup time.
Yep.
You know, but you get a Labrador with a big wide tongue, you get some middle of the floor. You get a little dog with a, like a Doberman with a pointed tongue, they get in the corners.
Oh, really? Gee. Oh. Now, for the sake of time and travel, et cetera, we would put this into a 350-degree oven for 1 hour and 15 minutes. Once it comes out, it cools for half an hour on a rack. Then I add to the top, as it's cooling, about a cup of lemon curd and spread that all around. And then I refrigerate that overnight.
What is lemon curd?
Lemon curd is a mixture of sugar and eggs and all kinds of good things. You can cook over a double boiler. But to make things easier, I just recently found lemon curd in the store. So you can buy the lemon curd and pour it on top.
Like in a can or something?
In a jar.
In a jar. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now, Alan, we have our finished product. If
yes,
you'd like to
we
bring
do.
It over.
Out of our magic oven.
Ooh.
Oops. There we are.
The no-fat, no-sugar lemon cheesecake with the lemon curd on top. And sometimes it's pretty to scatter some raspberries on top just for the contrast and color. Or the other thing I'll do is not make the lemon curd, but I'll make a fruit compote, so to speak, with berries and a little bit of sugar substitute and lemon juice. And as you serve the pieces, some people do like the fruit, some don't. So you can have it either way.
Thank you, Celia. That's a
You're
wonderful...
Very helpful.
Thank you. That's a wonderful cake.
Thank you.
Celia's fat-free, sugar-free lemon cheesecake. Ingredients. 1 cup crushed graham crackers. 3 tablespoons soft, low-fat spread. 2 tablespoons sugar-free sweetener. 1 teaspoon cinnamon. 3 8-ounce packages of no-fat cream cheese at room temperature. 1 16-ounce container fat-free sour cream. 1 cup egg substitute. 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice. 1 tablespoon lemon zest. 2 cups sugar substitute. 1 cup lemon curd. Place crackers in food processor. Add sugar substitute and cinnamon and blend well. Add low-fat spread and mix well. Pour into 9-inch greased springform pan. Spread on bottom of pan. Refrigerate. In food processor, mix cream cheese until smooth. Add sour cream and egg substitute. Blend well. Add zest and juice. Continue to blend. Add sugar substitute. Blend well until smooth. Pour mixture into prepared pan. Bake at 450 degrees for 30 minutes, and then at 350 degrees for 45 minutes until top is golden brown. Remove from oven. Let cool 1/2 hour. Pour 1 cup of lemon curd on top. Refrigerate 8 hours or overnight. Serves 8 to 10 generous portions.
Hi, welcome back to Food for Thought. For 60 million Americans, travel can mean trouble. But on a positive note, today's guests have solutions for those that are visually impaired, hearing impaired, and those living with physical disabilities. We're going to turn our travel show right now over to Steve. I'd like to start with you. Steve, can you tell us a little bit about SATH? We know it's the Society for Accessible Travel and Hospitality. Tell us what they do, and tell us how you got involved.
Well, SATH was founded 30 years ago, Annette, and was founded by a wonderful man by the name of Murray Vidakla. Peripherally, happened to be my brother-in-law. And although no one in the family had a disability or a serious illness, he felt that that was a segment of society that was denied the right to travel. And through the early years, he struggled, but then he testified before Congress, and it was the passage of the ADA, which liberated most people with disabilities in this country. It encouraged them to think of themselves as normal citizens who operated with a disability of whatever type or nature. And our mission at SATH is to educate the travel industry and the travel agent and the traveling public about the needs and desires of people with disabilities when they travel.
Very good. And, you know, speaking of disabilities, give us a breakdown of some of the most common disabilities.
Well, of the 60 million disabled Americans, I would say that the statistics say that the largest group are people with hearing loss. And the next largest group are people with eyesight problems, okay, from a small amount to total blindness. The third group is mobility, which means that you use a wheelchair. The fourth group is motor damage. And the fifth group is really a hidden disability. By that I mean they have a disability that's not readily apparent to the naked eye.
Tell me, you're both members of SATH, is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, how did you decide? I mean, this industry seems like it's been very untapped. It's been an untapped market. It's definitely an economic, you know, gold mine in a sense, as well as helping people. But how did you decide, and why did you decide to expand your agency into specializing in helping the disabled travel in a less problematic way?
When Gary and I first met, he would like travel with me, and there was a person, and it was an employee of a blind resource center, said, "Well, why do you want to travel? You're not able to see. You can't sightsee."
Oh.
And this totally floored me, because sight is only one of the senses. So we decided to go beyond sightseeing, and we use a multi-sensory approach to travel.
So do you have any stories, any funny stories? You were sharing a little bit with me earlier about something about Braille, and you were made the chief of the whole.
Oh, yeah. We went to the inaugural, and Jackie was showing me the sign and says, "Okay, what does this say?" Now, it was all in Braille and large print, whatever. I'm reading it, and it says, like, okay, art gallery, Lido restaurant, and whatever. I came to one sign. I couldn't read it. It was just, you know, made no sense. And then I turned my hand around, and it was a disabled restroom sign. And I told the people, you know, the higher-ups about it, and we went and toured the ship again, and the signs are still the same way, and we told them again. So they got a hold of SATH and says, "You know anybody that reads Braille in the area?" And the ship was down in Lauderdale at the time. And they told them about me, and they didn't realize that I was the one that found the problem in the first place. So we got a call, and they asked, "Can you do the, you know, read the ship for us, you know, when it's in port, you know, it's only a couple hours away, can you come down and do it? I said, sure. And then a couple of days later, we got a call and says, okay, we know it's it's a big ship and it'll take a long time. Would you be willing to sail with us for a week? We'll pay all your expenses. I said, sure, I'll make the sacrifice. I'll do it.
You probably, at the tip of your tongue, have tons of solutions that could be done to help this travel industry and help people travel more pleasurably and have a good time and not be stigmatized by the whole stigmas of being blind or deaf. What are some solutions that you can think of?
One of the greatest solutions is to educate people. There are so many people that aren't aware of the things that go on. Mm-hmm. Things like the Americans with Disabilities Act. So many Americans are egocentric. They think, I'm an American, I have this law that protects me. But as soon as we leave the jurisdictional borders of the United States, that law does not travel with us. So we have to educate both travelers, providers, and people from other countries that things like guide dog acceptance are okay, and that once you do leave the United States, you have their laws to follow, not the United States laws. So education is one of the number one things that needs to get accomplished, and that is where SAF comes in, because they are an educational venue.
Mm, I understand.
The other key factor there, if mm-hmm. I may,
sure, go
is
ahead.
That when law is written, it's written in black type. That's every lawyer knows that as the black letter law.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the black letter law that governs something like the ADA. It's the spirit. So people can say, yes, we're ADA compliant, mm-hmm. but they never caught the spirit. So they're really not accessible mm-hmm. to people who have need of these special facilities. So if you're going to do it, my motto was catch the spirit.
Exactly. Well, we're out of time once again, and I just want to thank Steve, Jackie, and Gary so much for being here. I think you've opened up a whole new world out there for people who want to get out and have fun and travel a bit more. And for you out there out in TV land, I want you guys to get your passports, because the producers of Cooking Without Looking are now developing a show specifically for people who are disabled and love to travel. So stay tuned for that. And on behalf of Celia, Alan, and myself, or as we like to call ourselves, the I-Team, we'll see you next time. Bye for now, or should I say, ciao.
For recipes and information from today's show, please call Vision World Foundation toll-free at 888-290-7005. Cooking Without Looking. Creator, executive producer, Renee Rentmeester. Vision World Foundation founder, Renee Rentmeester. Producer, Sylvia Troy. Associate producer, Celia Chacon. Hosts, Celia Chacon, Alan Preston, and Ed Watkins.
You've been listening to Cooking Without Looking on ACB Radio Mainstream. Join us again next week, same time, same place, for more interesting recipes and meet some more interesting folks who don't need to look while they cook. ACB Radio is grateful to Renee Rentmeester, producer of Cooking Without Looking, for allowing us to use this audio. If you would like information and strategies for contacting your own local public television station to request that they air upcoming seasons of Cooking Without Looking, give Renee Rentmeester a call. Her telephone number is 888-290-7005.